Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We give you the praise and glory and honor today. Lord, help us to know and understand your word this day, Lord, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I'm going to be seated too, if you don't mind, because I got some kind of crazy sciatic-y thing going on here. And when I stand too long, my leg goes numb, and I don't want to fall out on you. So it's just the way it is. Old age is a wonderful thing. This will be an interesting lesson today. It's been a good lesson for me. It should be something that you are all familiar with, because this is probably one of the most giving churches I've ever been associated with or been around. And our lesson today is talking about the ministry of giving, which is a very important aspect of the church. And our focus verse today is 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. And y'all have heard this many times as the various elders and whatever get up to take the offerings. But it says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And then our lesson text, there's a couple scriptures here, and one of them is a little lengthy. I'll try to get through it as quickly as I can. But Romans 12:8, it says, "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So the main part of that verse, "he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." Giving is not a difficult thing to do. Giving is not hard at all. And you don't have to, you know, debate yourself, you know, to sleep every night how much you're going to give or whatever. Just do it, you know. Just be like Nike. Just do it, you know. 2 Corinthians 8:1-12. This will be in the New Living Translation. It says, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I am not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have." And then our focus thought today is going to be, the body of Christ is a conduit through which the blessings of God will flow. And in looking through this, I found some interesting statistics. I just thought these would be kind of cool to bring out. But it says, there are nearly 50,000 self-storage facilities in our nation, 50,000, offering over 2 billion square feet of space to people to store their stuff. Okay. In the 1960s, this industry was not even in existence. So for me, being born in the 60s, this has all come about during my adult life. Okay. We spend $30 billion a year to pay someone else to store our extra stuff. Okay. Now, I'm not going to judge anybody because, unfortunately, I have one of these places. I put a few things in, you know. And it is just stuff. Trust me. It is just stuff. Stuff that I just don't even want to go there because my wife's sitting here. But anyway. This industry is larger than the music industry. And interestingly, we have 3 times more self-storage facilities than McDonald's has restaurants. That's hard to believe because you can't go anywhere and not see a McDonald's, I don't think. All right, beginning about 6 months before Christmas, we start getting all kinds of different catalogs in the mail. And Brother Tony Everhart, he probably sees hundreds, if not thousands, of these when he's delivering mail, you know. Probably get sick of them before it's over with. But about 13 billion mail order catalogs are sent out to people. 13 billion. Most every one of these catalogs are designed to make you want stuff you don't have and buy stuff you don't need, okay? For all of us to be able to navigate our way through this kind of bombardment upon our spiritual lives, we got to realize that each of us are stewards or managers of what God has given to us. We're not owners. We're just stewards, okay? 1 Timothy 6:7, it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." So just a little few tidbits of information there I thought were kind of interesting. Many of our thoughts concerning money and giving were developed in our early childhood. And obviously when we were infants, everything that we got was just handed to us, you know, just by virtue of that's what has to happen, you know. But as we grew older, we began to learn to help ourselves. And some of us probably even heard our parents say as we got older, what do you think, money grows on trees? Has anybody ever heard that statement? I sure have. Our parents' philosophy and patterns of giving are the beginning of our understanding of stewardship. Our own philosophy about money and giving was primarily learned by what we saw our parents do when we were young. And as we grew older, we developed our own behaviors as to how we would steward or manage our life and our finances. And it's amazing when we were young and growing up, we just thought money grew on trees. But when we got older, we found out it really didn't. And it was a little tougher. You know, we had to make our own way and learn how to, you know, do what we had to do just to survive. I didn't come into the church personally until I was 15 years old. So I had a few years there of watching my parents who weren't in church at the time and how they, you know, acted and reacted to, you know, giving things. Obviously, we didn't give to the church, but I grew up in a time, and I'm sure some of y'all did too, that neighbors truly did help neighbors. And if you needed something, they were there for you, and vice versa, you know. My mom and dad, they still do this to this day. My dad is just unbelievable how he does. And now that he's into the church, it's just really amazing to me. And he's a very good example to me. I've been very blessed with good examples. As we look at the scripture text that we read earlier, Paul, while working with the Macedonians, was inspired by their example. He saw their desire to give, even though they had little to offer monetarily to the believers in Jerusalem. He used this example to remind the Corinthians that raising funds for the Jerusalem believers was necessary because it expressed trust in God to meet needs, their own needs, and their own lives in Corinth. So giving has the potential to go far beyond our understanding. We can't grasp everything, you know, that giving can do. You know, one day, I really believe in my heart of hearts that one day we're going to see someone stroll by us in heaven that says, it's because of that dollar you gave or that $5 you gave is the reason I'm here today. I believe that. That's just how I believe. You can believe however you want to, but that's how I believe. The scriptures teach principles of giving to the work of God, providing for our families, and giving to the less fortunate. What we have belongs to God. What kind of stewards will we be with that? Okay, that's an important question. We want our faith and our knowledge and love to continue to grow as we continue to walk with God, but will we also grow in our giving? Okay, we want to learn as the pastor preaches and teaches scripture to us and the elders and the different ministers and our Sunday school teachers, but let's think about growing also in our giving. As the Macedonians did, we need to expand our growth and our relationship with God and begin to look at giving through a different lens, which changes our understanding of the ministry of giving, which is the topic of our lesson today. In searching the scriptures, we find out that, number one, giving is necessary. So here are some instructions for giving. And at the beginning of this, we have to realize and have to know that God owns everything. And I've already said that once, but God owns everything. In Psalms 24 and 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." In Psalms 50, 10 through 11, it says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine." And when I first came into the church, the first church I attended, my pastor, he was just an old country fella, and he would always read that verse, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and the taters in the hills." You know, you've probably heard that maybe. But God owns everything. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is to this day." 1 Chronicles 29 and 12, it says, "Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." In Proverbs 10 and 22, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." And finally, James 1 and 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." I heard this illustration the other day, and I thought it went pretty good with this lesson, and I just want to take a moment and share it with you. As much as I can remember of it, it kind of goes like this. It says, "In a bedroom overlooking the Pacific Ocean, a young man by the name of Brian Peel was working up a sweat on a Stairmaster." Everybody know what that is? It's kind of foreign to me anymore. I don't exercise that much. But he didn't need the exercise, but the equipment did. He discovered through experience that if the equipment was not used, the battery inside would run down. So Peel was keeping the machine in shape for its owners. A wealthy family had hired him 8 months earlier to manage their estate in Los Angeles, as well as the beach house in Malibu. Every 2 weeks, far more than his employers, Peel makes the 45-minute drive to the beachfront home. Once there, he runs every faucet for 15 minutes. He flushes every toilet and lights every fireplace or furnace, whatever's in the place. He checks the toaster, the coffee maker, the televisions, and even the laptop computer. He inspects the exterior paint job. He inspects the pipes. He advises the landscapers. And finally, shortly before leaving, he hits the Stairmaster. Peel is one of 1,000 or more estate managers who oversee properties and staff for some of the wealthiest individuals in America. He is a modern-day steward, all right? So typically, stewardship can be described as the management of time, talents, material possessions entrusted to an individual's care. We are stewards, you and I. We're stewards of what God has given us. And all that we have is from God, and that includes far more than our money and our possessions. He's made us managers of truth. He's made us managers of time. He's made us managers of talents, and he's also made us management of our treasures. Generally, how we deal with our money is a great indicator of what we do with the other gifts that he has given us. And we'll discuss some of these towards the end of the lesson. Find out where I am here. It's going by fast. God has given us everything we have, and we are stewards or managers of these possessions. So daily, we have to determine how we're going to invest God's assets. All right? It's important that we give back to God from the blessings that he's given to us. There's an author who wrote a book. His name is Randy Alcorn. He wrote this book called Money, Possessions, and Eternity. And in this book, he made a statement. He said, "As long as I still have something, I believe I own it. But when I give it away, I relinquish the control. When I recognize God as the owner, myself as a servant, and the other people as intended beneficiaries of what God has entrusted to me, it doesn't strip me of my vested interest. Rather, it shifts my vested interests from earth to heaven and from self to God." Okay, so we need to realize that God owns everything. We're taking what he has given to us and helping other people, helping the church, okay? We relinquish that control over that. Many things can be done. Many things can be done. Let's see here. So as we break down the first verse that I read, that was 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8, it says, "We are to give as we purpose in our hearts." So how do we decide how much to give? Paul gave the Corinthian church several principles to follow, and I'll just go through these quickly, but says we should follow through on any previous promises that we have made. We should give as much as we are able to give. We should make up our own minds concerning how much to give, and we should give in proportion to what God has given us, which is a very interesting principle in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you know, they had the tithing, which we do, which is 10% of what, basically what we earn or what God has given us. We give that automatic. That's just a given. But anything over and above that, you know, the Bible talks about give in proportion to what God has given you. So, you know, if you make $1,000 a month, it's obvious you're not going to be able to give $1,500 a month. You see what I'm saying? If you make $10,000 a month, it would probably be, I don't know, I guess it would be a shame. I don't know the great word to use, but if you only gave like $5 in the offering, you know what I'm saying? So whatever that proportion God has blessed you with, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's lives are different. It's just the way things are. And we have no control over that. It's just the way it is. But however God has blessed you is how you can bless others, okay? I can remember when we were quite younger, when we were first married, I made very little. And I got paid once a month. And so we had to pay our bills, you know, and all that good stuff, and figure out what we had left for the rest of the month. And it wasn't very much. But we always gave to God, okay? And we might not have given $500 a month, but we gave. And we have always done that through our marriage, okay? And so I may give you a couple examples here of things that we have done, and please don't take that wrongly. It's just, I don't know any of your all's life story, so I don't know how to say some of those up here. All I have is what the, you know, the testimony that I have and what, how God has done for us. God blesses us so that we can bless others, okay? However, Paul indicated that sacrificial giving must be responsible giving. Paul wanted the believers to give generously, but not to the extent that their families were deprived of basic needs, okay? So anytime that an offering is taken here, you know, God doesn't expect you to give your grocery money. He doesn't expect you to give your rent money. He didn't expect you, you know what I'm saying? But there's also that measure of faith that's in there, okay? And if you feel in your heart that God is going to take care of you, there is nothing wrong with you going ahead and doing something like that. If you seriously believe that God has spoken to you and says, if you do this, this is going to happen, by all means, do it, okay? You give as you purpose in your heart. You make that choice. You make that decision, right? A local pastor and congregation were saving funds to construct a new sanctuary because they were outgrowing their current building. During this fundraising effort, a missionary came to present the need of a new building in his field of labor. The pastor felt God was leading him to give funds toward this project, but he struggled with his decision because the only money available was from their building fund. The pastor felt strongly enough about this that he consulted with those who had donated to the building fund, and they decided to give this money to the missionary. So they purposed in their heart, this is what we're going to do. God honored their faith and provided funds from a new source. Today, this congregation has a newly constructed building. Okay? This is where we live at Heaven View, whether you realize it or not, but this is the faith that's in this church towards giving. This, like I said at the beginning, is one of the most giving churches I've ever been associated with. It just amazes me how God takes care of this church. And it's because of those plaques on the wall and just the mentality of giving that we have here. Some of you may remember, and I'm sure it's been said here before, but some of you may remember the old church and the old gravel parking lot. That was there when I first came. And how we were wanting to, you know, get it all paved and make it nice so you wouldn't break your ankle or whatever walking to church, you know. And through all of that, this young man came to our church and presented to us, and he was going on the missionary field. And you're going to meet this young man at the end of the month, Brother Robinette. And I can remember the plea that went forth for him and for us to give something to him for his missionary journey. And you know, through that, I don't even know the number, but I've heard numbers, but through this young man, there's been thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's because some of you folks gave. Some of you opened your hearts, some of you opened your wallets. So you have no idea of what that $100 bill you put in the offering to a missionary is going to do for some soul that's thousands of miles away from us. Thousands of miles away from us. We just have no clue. That, to me, gives me more joy in giving than anything, anything. And I really believe that through whatever happened years ago, this same young man coming to us God's going to pour something out here at the end of the month that we've not seen yet. I really believe that. God's going to move through that young man. He's going to move, obviously, through us inviting people also, but he's going to move through that young man. And I just believe stuff like that. That's kind of how I was raised, I guess. Second part, we should not give reluctantly. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So this church was going through some rough times. They were being persecuted, and they had some things coming against them. But even through that, they wanted to give. They jumped at the opportunity to give. They had the desire in their heart to give. And through that, many great things happened, okay? By using the example of this church in Macedonia, Paul encouraged the Corinthians to follow that same pattern of generosity, which, as we read, we follow that same pattern. The next part of the verse, it says, we are not to give under compulsion. For to their power I bear record, yea, and behold, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. That's what the scripture says. This is 2 Corinthians 8 that I read earlier. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So Paul made sure that the Corinthians understood he was not ordering them to give, okay? Anytime someone gets up to take an offering, nobody's forcing us to give anything, okay? Nobody is commanding that you give in an offering, all right? His desire was to help them understand what it was meant to give, all right? Paul pointed out to the Macedonians, we were following the example of the Lord. They were poor, but they still gave, okay? We may not have much at times, but we still give. And God sees that. God sees that. And then it says, we should give cheerfully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. He loveth a cheerful giver. Giving and the attitude in which we give it are equally important. You know, they're hand in glove, whatever you want to call it, right? Whatever amount we give, God wants us to give it with a grateful heart and loving that opportunity to bless others. God himself gave and is pleased when we follow his example. We have many resources to give monetarily, both while we are here on this earth and after we pass from this life. So we have opportunities if we invest our money wisely and do things with our money while we're here on this earth. You know, we can even give some of that money after our death, however we want to do that. You know, you can will it to a church, you can will it to a charity, you can will it to whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's obvious. I've heard this statement so many times that I'm probably, like you, tired of hearing it, but, well, I'm not even going to say it, I guess, but yes, I am too. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul, right? So you're not taking it with you, folks, okay? You're not taking it with you. Doesn't hurt to invest it. Doesn't hurt to save it now so you can do something with it later. You plan for the future, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. There's nothing we can do about that. But you make those plans. So giving and the attitude in how we do it is what is the main thing. God himself gave and is pleased that we follow his example. We have God is more focused on our attitude in giving. He is more concerned about our willingness to give than about the amount that we give or that we can afford to give. He's more concerned about our willingness to do that. I can remember, and I have got to hurry on, but I can remember a while back there was a plea given out or whatever to a missionary who needed an air conditioner. And I think they lived in Africa or something like that, and that was major. And they were really, really in need of an air conditioner. And I can't even remember the amount they were wanting or whatever or needing, but Pastor made a plea for that. And I was at work one day doing what I do, and a lot of times I work on the computer about all day, so I can sit there and pray and think and whatever thoughts go through my mind. And it's just like God spoke to me, and he says, you know, you have air conditioning in your home. You have air conditioning in your house. You've been blessed. God's given you so many things, or I've given you so many things, he says. And I'm sitting there, you know, God, you're right. And I made a conscientious decision at that point. God, I'm going to give to this effort. Because these people that go overseas or whatever, they give everything. They sell all their stuff, okay? They leave all that behind. They leave families behind. They leave their grandkids behind, you know, and they go to do the work of God. And they're in need of something simple like an air conditioner, okay? So for us to be able to give to something like that, to me, that is a joy. That is a privilege, okay? I'm going to have to skip a lot of this because it's just a lot. A small apostolic church began to see an increase in attendance and growth in all areas. The building in which the people met no longer met their needs. The people began pledging to the project without even being asked. One newlywed couple made a pledge to give a certain amount, knowing that they could not afford it, but they really felt impressed by God to give this. And they felt that God was leading them. Shortly after making the pledge, they received a letter from the IRS stating that they had overpaid past taxes. The enclosed check was for the exact amount that they had pledged. Now, God doesn't do anything by happenstance. He doesn't do anything God's God. And things like this just blow my mind. And when we do Faith Promise every year, we hear a lot of these stories of how God has taken someone, you know, and has put on their heart to give a certain amount, and just out of nowhere, the money comes. It comes from who knows where, you know. About 5 years ago, we went on a missions trip with the church to Holland, and we really didn't have that to do with, but we decided we wanted to do that. We wanted to go. We wanted to experience that. And God blessed, and I mean, we saw things, and we saw God move, and we met folks that we're still actually, Dee and I, FaceTime them every now and again, and just become real close with them, and it just gets a hold of you and does something to you. But through all that, we just weren't sure how we were going to make it. And when we got home, it was probably within a week, I got a check from my insurance company where I had canceled a term life insurance policy, of all things. I didn't realize that it had accrued dividends. I had no clue. I thought, you know, term life, it's just you pass away and that's when it's taken care of. I didn't know it had all this other stuff. It was for just a few dollars short of the exact amount that we spent to go to Holland. And I'm like, that is amazing to me. God just took care of that situation like that, okay? The Bible said God is able to make us abound in good works. If we're willing to give to others, God will supply us the resources to be a conduit of His blessings. We become the hands of Jesus. When we let His resources flow through us, God provides the means for us to accomplish His work through our finances, through our time, and through our resources. Examples include individuals who feed the homeless, participate in coat drives for the needy, and take care of widows. There are so many opportunities here at Heaven View for us to do things, to go to Ronald McDonald House, to go to homeless shelters, to go. I saw a thing, I think it was yesterday, where they went and helped give shoes out. I mean, they washed people's feet, folks. I sat there and cried because I'm like, you know, God have mercy. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing the opportunities that we have here to do things for God, to give of what He's given us. Some of this stuff is redundant, so. So we'll start to wrap this up. Our ministry of giving, okay? This is another part of this lesson, our ministry of giving. Firstly, we need to give generously, and we do that in different ways, okay? When we give, we don't always give money, okay? We give time, we give talent, we give treasure, we give encouragement, we give, okay? Often we think of finances as being our only resources, but many things in this world are valuable, okay? It could be argued that the most valuable thing that we have outside of our health is our time. It is imperative that all areas of our lives be in balance, and this has been referenced as lifestyle giving. You know, just a couple days from now, we're in August, okay? We just had Christmas yesterday. Okay, so our time is very valuable. It's very valuable. And what we do with that time means a whole lot to the kingdom. How we budget our time in regard to family, work, worship, rest, okay, we got to balance all that stuff out somehow. They're all important. Giving of ourselves to ministries of the church teaches valuable lessons to our children and to others. Giving our time is also an example of generosity. Looking at time from a godly perspective should ultimately change our priorities. And our talents, you know, what do you love to do? What skills do you have, okay? What special ability has God given you, you know? Some of us have been blessed with the ability to do art. Some of us have been blessed with the ability to do music. Some of us have been blessed with the ability to teach, which I'm not one of them, but we're trying, you know. Using your abilities and skills is as much part of the kingdom of God as giving your money. You know, I can remember years ago when my daughter, you know, was 3 years old. She was sitting in my dad's guitar case as he was packing to go to Haiti. So he went to an apostolic church up home, and he's been to Haiti 3 or 4 times, I think. But he's a brick and block layer by trade, and he was able to use that talent to go to Haiti and help build a church. He laid the block for that church, and that's always stuck with me, okay? So there's something that we do that we have in our lives. There's something, okay? You know, pray about it and ask God what it is, but there's something that you can use for the kingdom of God, okay? Doesn't have to be laying block, okay? Can be anything, anything. And then finally, our treasure. Treasure includes not only gold and precious metals, your money, whatever, you know. This same author, Randy Alcorn, he wrote another book, The Treasure Principle, Discovering the Secret of Joyful Giving. He suggested that if individuals, families, and churches would look at giving of our treasure through the lens of Jesus, it would change how we give. He believes that many people look at Matthew 6:19 through 21 as forbidding us to lay up treasures for ourselves. Okay? His interpretation of the passage is that Jesus wanted us to stop laying them up in the wrong places. Okay? There's nothing wrong with you putting money away and saving it for a rainy day or saving it for something you can do for the church. Nothing wrong with that. Just start laying it up in the right place. Okay? What do we do with our treasure? When we withhold our finances, we miss out on a focal area of biblical teaching. Okay, on tithing and what the early church showed as an example. Do we miss out on great opportunities because we're not reaching out to those in need? Luke 14:12-14 says, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again and a recompense be made." So it's just tit for tat. You know, you're doing something good for somebody because you know they're just going to turn right around and do it for you. It says, "But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." So God sees what you do. God knows your heart. He knows what you want to do with what he has given you. And finally, encouragement, which I think you might have learned about that last week. I think Sister Gretchen did Ministry of Encouragement or something like that. So I really won't get into that because you already heard that. But we're to give to the needs of the saints. And so that could be whatever. You know, if somebody needs help mowing grass, you know, if there's a widow lady even that needs help with her grass being mowed, nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. That's something to do. We need to consider the needs of the people that are around us in the church. And then finally, we should give anonymously. Okay, I don't want people coming to me and saying, "Man, I'm glad you gave that $1,000. I don't care about that. I don't live to have somebody pat me on the back. I don't care. I don't care if anybody knows. I just assume not even put my name on the envelope. Okay? So we need to just give and just let it happen. Let God do his thing because he's going to. So as we get ready to close here, think about, why do we give? What is the motive that we do that? It's important to continually to grow in our relationship with God. He measures our giving by our purpose for doing so, okay? If we allow God to disciple us in faith, knowledge, commitment, and giving, we can make a difference in the family, the local church, the community, and we can even have a global impact, which this church has a global impact. Have we evaluated stewardship practices while looking at all that God has given to us? Giving is a ministry. Do we give because we understand we are stewards of all that God has given us and realize he needs a conduit of his blessings? Willingness is not a substitute for giving. Our time, our talent, and treasure are vital parts of giving of our resources. We need to make sure that we give all those back to God, okay? We should not let anything get in the way of stewarding what God has given to us. It's all his anyway, okay? It's all his anyway. We're just the managers of his blessings, all right? So I personally thought this was a good lesson because I love to give, okay? I have no problem doing that. That is such a joy in my life, and I'm thankful that God has blessed me because I want to continue to give. I want to continue to do things. If God's blessing you, jump in. If you've never had the privilege, jump in, okay? Amen. Thank you.